paper.
Okay, good afternoon. I'd like to begin today by welcoming Nigel Letter to the press conference. As you all know, Nigel is a clinical psychologist with significant experience working with young people and their families. Over recent weeks, he has been involved in a review of the policies and procedures used by the New Zealand Police and Child, Youth and Family around the issue of smacking. I asked Nigel to be part of the review as an independent person, working alongside the Chief Executive of the Ministry of Social Development, Peter Hughes, and the Police Commissioner, Howard Broad. They have now handed me their final report, and today I'm releasing it to you. The findings of this report reinforce my view that the law is working as Parliament intended, and that good parents are not being criminalised for a light smack. During the review, Nigel spoke with staff working on the front line for the police and Child, Youth and Family, and was given full access to files. He went out with police and saw them in action, and he sat with Child, Youth and Family staff. Along with all of this, Nigel personally examined several individual cases that have been highlighted in the media by people advocating for a law change. I would leave it to Nigel to explain his thoughts, but what I will say is that he found that the police and Child, Youth and Family responded appropriately and proportionately to the child safety concerns that were raised. The report makes several recommendations for new measures to reassure parents, and we have accepted all of them. As I've said before, the government does not want to see good parents criminalised for a light smack. I can assure parents the National-led government will continue to monitor the way the law is being implemented. So on that note, I'd like to hand over to Nigel, who will say a few words. I thought we'd take questions on that topic, and then we'll go from there to the other things that we want to discuss. Nigel, when you take your hands.
Right, well, goodness, my mum will be very proud. I guess I agreed to be part of the report because I was actually curious to see if the law was working as intended. It was quite clear to me that I was given free access to do and look wherever I wanted. And the short answer is that I personally am reassured that the law change hasn't made any difference to frontline social work or police work. I think it would be easy to get that impression from looking at some of the reports that have appeared publicly, but in all of the case studies that I reviewed, it was clear there were other aggravating features involved. And in fact, if SIPs and the police hadn't turned up to those cases, I would have been asking why they hadn't. What I think is important is that people have a look at the report for themselves and make up their own mind. At the back of the report, we include the case studies and the information that we can put forward publicly. Essentially, I'm completely reassured that the frontline work of SIPs and the police hasn't changed as a result of the law.
How would you say that the law is working? How would you evaluate it?
Well, in reality, I don't think the law's made any difference to frontline work. The frontline social workers and the police are doing what they would always do. There will always be cases where normal, good parents will have social workers turn up or the police turn up. That has always happened, and it will always happen, and it has to happen, because if we don't do that, kids will die. What we expect is two cops to make a decision at 6 o'clock on a Friday night about whether or not a kid's safe if a neighbour's called them with some information. And the reality is, that's something that takes psychologists hours and hours of interviewing, and even then we're not particularly good at it. So to expect the police to make those decisions on the spot, I think we want them to be very conservative. I personally want them to overreact. In hindsight, it will look like overreacting.
Is this what you expected to find?
No. Well, I didn't have any expectations, really. I was curious to see how the law was working at the front level. I didn't know, for example, that if a member of the public calls the SIPS call centre and, say, reports that they've seen their neighbour smacking their child, if it's a light smack and there are no other aggravating features, then social workers will not turn up and investigate that case. If there are other aggravating features, they will. And I think what we've seen recently is the obvious case that springs to mind is the man who said that he hit his nephew or something with a six-year-old boy with a pillow. At face value, that looked like an extreme overreaction. It turns out, once you look beneath the surface, the man had over 70 convictions for aggravated robbery with a firearm, threatening to kill, and numerous domestic violence convictions as well. So I think the reality is that the police and social workers, they react proportionally. They will, as I said, they will always at times look as if they've overreacted, but that's with the benefit of hindsight.
So if this parent came up to you and said, look, we're worried about this, what would you say to them?
What I would say is that I think you can relax. You know, like all of us, the world... There were a number of cases we looked at where an older child, a 14 or 15-year-old, had called the police or called a social worker or said to the teacher that, you know, that their parents were hurting them. And I think one of the things that happened is that parents are being made to feel like they have no power with their children anymore because kids can just pick up the phone and call the police. Well, that's always been the case. I mean, I've been in the game for a long time, and I've been involved in cases dating back 14, 15 years where teenagers have dobbed their parents in to get back at them. That has happened, will always happen. It's an inevitable part of raising teenagers that some people have those kind of problems.
Did you find any cases, though, you say that would always happen under the previous law, did you find any cases where the police or welfare agencies intervened where they may not have intervened under the law as it was previously?
No, in all the cases that I looked at, and interesting, you know, over the course of the time period of the review, I came across a number of cases in my own kind of clinical work. There wasn't once where I thought the only reason that SIPs and the police are involved is because of the law change. In every single case, when I looked at some of the public information that was available, I thought, gosh, that sounds a bit excessive. And then when you go back and look at the SIPs file or the police file, it was blindingly obvious why the police turned up.
So do you think there's maybe a mismatch in terms of the public perception, because there obviously is still a lot of concern out there, between maybe those back details you know, that the police and SIP has, and actually maybe what's reported or what's seen by the public?
And I think one of the problems is that confidentiality means that the information can't be... I mean, Family First have been... and Bob McCroskey in particular has been very helpful in terms of supplying cases, and I'll be talking to him later today or tomorrow about, you know, in more detail about what I thought about the case reviews. In all of the case studies that Family First forwarded to me, I think the police behaved and the SIPs behaved proportionally. I think the difficulty for Family First is what all they have is the account of the person who's talking to them, and people aren't always completely honest about the stuff that's going on. I mean, I think, to be honest, I think what's really important is that the public, is that whenever the public here reports of our thing, our case, this is a Section 59 case, I think it's really important to ask yourself the question, do we actually know all of the information? And the reality is that you won't. I'm completely reassured that frontline police and social work hasn't changed. And so whenever I hear about cases that come up in the media, my first thought will be, yep, but I wonder what the background was that we can't know that led SIPs or the police to be involved. And for me, the issue's kind of resolved. I'm kind of moving on.
And I suppose unless it actually went to court and the charges laid and it came out, and then potentially then the details won't be known by the public. So are you saying trust the police, trust SIPs, that they can...
I think that parents have to decide. Yeah, I think that kind of is what I'm saying. I mean, my personal view is I do trust the police and SIPs, and I do trust that they make the right decision. I mean, like I said, there will always be cases where, in hindsight, it will look as if that was a complete overreaction. But I've been doing this stuff for a long time, and making decisions about kids' safety is incredibly difficult. And often what happens is the parties involved can talk freely, but they can leave things out. SIPs are bound by all kinds of levels of confidentiality stuff, and so they can never talk about the things that they have on file. I think if that was the case, people would think quite differently about how they work and the work they do.
Given the positions that were just identified, why the recommendation for a further review? The part of the report talks about a further review of your own.
I think one of the things we thought was quite important is that the whole transparency thing is, I mean, obviously this is something that parents do feel anxious about and worried about. So I think it's important that the information that we work on, getting that information out there so that, again, people can continue to make their own decisions. I think one of the really positive outcomes of this is that what we've recommended is that there be a kind of a helpline for parents set up, so that if you are visited on a Friday night and you have to move out on a Friday night, that's an incredibly stressful and traumatic time for parents. I have thought for years and years and years that it would be nice if there was somewhere that people could ring on a Friday night, someone who wasn't directly involved with the case, but who had access to the information to explain what's happened, why it's happened, and what should happen next, so that people will know, all right, on Monday morning, this should happen, and if it doesn't, this is the person that I can ring and talk to. I think that's a tremendously positive thing that will come out of all this.
Shouldn't SIPs already be providing that information anyway?
The difficulty is that SIPs social workers will provide that when they're with the parent on the day or on the afternoon. The problem is that often people will be upset and angry or traumatised or those sorts of things, and they will go away and then have questions. If you have questions at 7 o'clock on Friday night, the only person you can ring is the on-call social worker. You can't ring a person who may have direct knowledge of that particular case.
This rule change caused major angst for a lot of parents. Do you think it's actually
making
any difference to
the
safety of children?
I understand the argument about drawing a line in the sand. I think that what will happen, I think what it has done that's useful is it's focused the discussion about how we parent and those sorts of things. Whether or not the law change makes any difference to the long-term stuff, personally, I think that the thing that will make a difference is when parents move past this and start thinking, forget this notion that you don't have any control over your kids anymore, they've got the upper hand. It's the same basic parenting stuff is there, it's always has been.
So will this make
Oh, this in itself, I don't think this law, personally, I don't think this law change in itself, it certainly won't make them unsafer. And I think that what it does is it does remove some doubt. You know, I think there have been cases in the past where people have used that piece of legislation to get out of stuff that they shouldn't have got out of. And so it does remove doubt in those cases.
So, were you a
It's an interesting question. Let me give you a long-winded answer to that. I voted no on the referendum, not because I actually support smacking children. In almost 20 years of working with kids, never once have I advocated with parents smacking kids, because it's not a particularly effective way of disciplining children. What I don't like is when ideology is dressed up as science, and some of the ways that people were talking about the research on smacking as this debate was going along, that kind of irritated me. Like, if it's an opinion, say that it's an opinion, but don't say that it's what the science shows if it doesn't. The best layout of the science was a 2004 review by the Commissioner for Children, who said, clearly, if you beat children and physically abuse them, that has serious and long-term effects way up that end of the scale. At this end of the scale, there's research that shows that it has negative effects, research that shows it has positive effects, none of it can conclusively answer the problem. So I kind of think the best argument is, well, if we don't know what a safe level of smacking is, let's try and find some other things instead. That's, I think, a far more effective argument and supports the law more than if you smack your kids for a child abuser.
The practice seems as though there's a ban on smacking at all, that if it won't respond to a light smack, no other features, so is that a green light for parents to smacking?
No, but as we've always said, I believe that in the course of parenting, from time to time, parents may well smack their child lightly, and for the purposes of correction, it's my view that they shouldn't be brought before the courts for that. If there's broader circumstances, sure they should, but lightly smacking a child will be the course of in the course of parenting for some parents, and I think that's acceptable.
Do you think that's the only way to alleviate
Well, some people know, but I think with the vast bulk of New Zealanders to a certain degree, yes, and that's because Nigel voted no on the referendum. He's completely independent and he's spent a long period of time looking at the information. I think he's made the right point, which is often the information that finds its way into the public domain about specific cases is only one small aspect of that case, and when you look at them in totality, there's often a different story to tell. I mean, in the end, the government's position is quite a simple one. If the law doesn't work and good parents are criminalised for lightly smacking a child, we'll change the law. But I think the recommendations that the review panel's come up with should go a long way to giving parents more confidence. And I think things like the helpline, for instance, where a parent can ring up if Child, Youth and Family turn up on their doorstep and give them some assurance of what their rights are, along with the continued reporting from the police, can at least help with this debate.
Are you pretty sure given that you're stuck in your couch politically, won't sticking, you know, by staying with this, yeah, in terms of how it's working and how New Zealand staff are actually carrying out the law?
Well, my view was always that if we were to reverse the law, we should do so if it wasn't working. And at this point, I think, broadly speaking, it is. And that's the confirmation we've had from the review panel. And I think, you know, New Zealand Parliament and parliamentarians have a lot of big issues to debate over the next 24 months. We could continue to tie ourselves up in knots on this issue. And I would see that as very worthwhile, unless there was a good reason to change. And I think that certainly the findings we've had today continue to confirm that there is no particular reason to change.
Did you say before that it was acceptable to lightly spring a trial?
Yeah, I think so.
For the purposes of correction?
Yeah, I think so.
That's against the law as it's written,
isn't it? Yeah, but the law says, the law clearly says that if it's inconsequential, then that shouldn't be a matter for the police.
Is the difference between it not being a matter for the police and being appropriate?
Well, in the end, it's for parents to decide that. It's never been my view that if a parent lightly smacks a child, they should be hauled before the courts. And I don't believe the law in practice actually does that.
But there's a difference between that and that one. There'd be argument that and saying that it's acceptable.
Yeah, well, it's up to individual parents to decide how they're going to parent their children. My view is that it'll depend on the circumstances and, you know, how you want to raise your child. Some people will continue to lightly smack their child for the purposes of correction, some will not. It's for them to decide that.
Dr. Lester, sorry, you were talking about aggravating factors. Can you say what kind of aggravating factors were in other courts and still investigating?
Things like previous convictions for domestic violence, where the child had disclosed a level of violence that was much higher than what was publicly reported, the age of the child, the amount of times that the child had been hit. There were a range of aggravating features. And in every case that I looked at, I thought it was an entirely reasonable thing that the police and SIPs investigated.
This is probably a little bit outside what you looked at, but have you found any evidence that parents are
sent to
since the law has changed?
I'm not actually sure. To be honest, I don't know the answer to that. I certainly know that in my clinical work, I don't think smacking is as big a part of parenting as it kind of used to be. And I think most people think that it doesn't work. I think most parents smack when they don't know what else to do. You know, so when you get cross and you get angry and you run out of strategies, that's when most parents tend to smack the kids.
Okay.